Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everyone, to the Refresh Your Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. Fall is in the air here in Phoenix, Arizona, where I am calling in from today's show. It's my normal abode, but I'm just loving this fall weather, of course. College football has got me all excited, and we're going to be talking about long-term care strategies. Might throw out a football tip or two, maybe give you a pick-em pick for the, your weekly gambling coming into the NFL season as well next week. And Mark, I know you're a football fan. Not much of a football player, but football fan.
Yeah, that's a fair statement. But you know, fantasy football, you know, in my fantasies I play. And so it was kind of funny that last night, I think there was a lot of people doing their draft last night. I don't know. I haven't done fantasy football before, so played on a league. So my son, he's running out the door, and he's like, "Hey, I gotta go. I got draft in an hour. I gotta get ready for my, you know, my team. I gotta figure out." And I said, "Okay, just make sure you recruit Peyton Manning." He's like, "Okay, I will."
That's a sign.
That's a little curveball out there. You know?
That's trouble for him.
Yeah, I haven't talked to him this morning yet.
Okay, here's my one fantasy football tip. So I played 1 year. I kind of got into it, but I didn't know the players. I knew like all the old guys, you know. This is like when Jerry Rice was playing for like the Chiefs or something, you know. And I was like, "Oh, he's good," you know. And they're like, "On the Chiefs?" I'm like, "No, the Niners." You know, I was like, "Wait, I was just behind. I'd gotten out of sports, and so I'm picking all the old guys, thinking they're going to be great." And I was thinking of picking the old guys, but then right before the draft goes, I decide, you know what? I'm just going to pick every guy that's been like a thug. He's gone to prison or jail or something. And I seriously picked every guy, and I called my team the felons. And I just picked every guy I knew had like a criminal history or had like jail. And I ended up winning the season. I went to a bunch of people who really like knew their players in football. So there you go. Use that. If you need a theme, go with the felons.
I like it. Well, you know, you got lots to choose from there. So that's the nice thing. Lots of options.
All right. Well, let me just let you guys know about today's show. Mark, and I don't know if this is on – you're hearing this on your end, but I'm hearing a little crackling on your phone or line. I don't know. Maybe I'll
– Well, we'll
maybe
keep
I'll try
working
on for
that.
A second.
Well, that sounds fine.
All right. Well, today we're going to be talking about long-term care strategies. And you know, you're never too young. To know about this. And I've been researching this myself, but keep in mind, we're also going to be having a expert on, Randy Lubke. He's a registered financial consultant, life insurance agent, real estate broker. I mean, the guy's got all these licenses and credentials. It's a laundry list, but he really does have an expertise in long-term care. And so we want to go over that today and talk about that topic, go in depth. And I want you to think about this. You may be thinking, "Oh, I'm not the age where I need long-term care." Well, we want to talk about that. What about your parents? Maybe they should be considering it, because who's going to be taking care of them if they're not taking care of themselves? That mostly falls on the children. So this is a really important topic for those entering retirement, or that have parents entering retirement, to make sure they have a plan here, or at least know the information. And we're going to talk about Medicare. What does that cover? What do you need long-term care for? Is long-term care a deal? Who's a good candidate for it? Who shouldn't get it? And we're going to be quizzing Randy on those items as we go through the show today. But Randy will be calling in a little bit later in the show. Now, keep in mind, you can always find the show at refreshyourwealth.com to find prior episodes. You can find us under the iTunes podcast, Refresh Your Wealth Radio Show. And, of course, you can always find us here on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
All right.
I think we're sounding better, right? We got rid of that crackling?
Yes, sounds great.
Okay, we're still working through the technical difficulties. Now, here, I want to throw this out. Okay, all of our listeners out there. Now, we're not idiots. We listen to other podcasts. We know that you listen to some podcasts that sound amazing, that you've got these podcasts that sound like you're listening to NPR and they're crisp and they're clear. And guess how they do that? They record their podcast, but not us. We go live. We go live because we've got the cojones to do it. We can take calls. We're going to field your emails. We're going to do live Facebook. We have content. Even though the quality may not sound as sexy, hey, if you want to watch the movie Tommy Boy, we can write whatever you want on the side of a box. But it matters what's in the box, and that's us, and we're here with you. So we know the quality sometimes is questionable. But, guys, we're delivering quality info. So that's why we like doing a live show. So we're working on the quality, you know. We're trying to make it better as for the listening experience. But for the content, we're there for you. Is that all right, Matt?
All right. Yeah, that was a conversation.
I had to vent.
Yeah, because I was telling Mark, oh man, we gotta get the audio content up. I sounded like I was calling from like the basement last week, and I was calling in from a microphone and anyways. So we'll try and get it better. But yeah, we're first and foremost, content is king, and that's what we're trying to deliver.
Yeah.
So, and with that, I've got a legal tip I'd like to throw down. Speaking of amazing content. Get ready.
All right, you do it.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right. Now, this is somewhat of a tax tip, honestly, because it's a little tax and legal mix. And as you guys know, that's what we try and hit perfectly, because there's a sweet spot. You got to get the tax and you got to get the legal right. Now, one of the common things that people will set up, they'll come to the law firm, receive legal services, so they'll set up an LLC. Now, one of the items when you set up your LLC, one of the things you need to know is there's a choice of tax election when you set up the LLC. What's your tax status going to be? Are you going to be taxed as a sole proprietorship? Are you going to make an S-corp election? Are you going to be a C-corp? Are you going to be a partnership? And so you have a lot of options on how you're going to be treated for tax purposes. Now, one that I want to just throw out, and we've done shows on just some of those different topics right there, which could be an S corporation or not. But for this tip, I just want to give one quick tip out for those who are married and live in community property states like Arizona, California. A lot of times people will say, well, I want to keep it simple. I just have an LLC for rental properties. I don't want to have to do a separate tax return for the LLC. I just want everything to flow down onto my personal return, just like if I own the rental property personally. So don't complicate my tax life. Just keep it simple. And if you're in that situation, you can just do what's called a disregarded entity or single member LLC. Now, even if you're married, husband and wife, that's two people. You both own the LLC. If you're in a community property state, you're able to claim single member, and everything can just flow down to your personal return. Nice and easy. You don't have to do a separate partnership tax return. Now, there may be reasons you want to do a partnership tax return that's separate. There's some pros and cons to doing that. But I want to make sure everyone understands you have choices. And when you're setting up the LLC, you're usually doing it for asset protection rental. And this could be a small business. But just keep in mind, there are elections you can make. And if you want to get that single member, keep it simple status, even if you're married and you're two people, which would otherwise be a partnership. If you're in those community property states like Arizona, California, there's a lot more. It's straightforward and easy. You're single member, no partnership tax return.
Love it. Great tip, Matt. I mean, the LLC is like a chameleon. So flexible. You can do so many different things. I love it. So that's a great legal tip. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody thinks, the LLC is the next best thing to slice bread. But if you know you're going to need to make an S election or do a corp, you might even save on filing fees just going straight to the corp. So this is, again, why a consult. And just in the last 2 days, I've handed off two new clients to our amazing paralegal team to do their Fix My Legal Zoom entity service. because we have so many people come to us that go click, click, click on the web. Oh, I went to a seminar and they said, just get an LLC. And then they call up and go, now what do I do? And you end up paying us the same thing you would have, because we're affordable, to do it right in the first place with a consult, with a real attorney. We're there for you, folks. Give us a buzz. All right, Matt. Great tip. You ready to
I like
down
that.
A tax tip? Can,
yeah.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Are you ready for it?
I'm ready for it, man.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
All right. Now, this tax tip is really on point for today's show because we're going to be talking about long-term care, which is typically an older person's scenario. It could be for you, it could be for your parents, or you're planning for the future, but long-term care, right? You know, kind of an older age scenario, right? Well, what do you do when you own the home that your parents are living in and you're trying to help them out? You may be that good son or that good daughter that owns the home that your parents are living in while all your other siblings are off traveling around the world and not helping out. Some of you in that situation, it's sometimes common. And I know there's a lot of politics and dynamics to a family, but I've had a number of calls this last month talking to families that are saying, what tax tip, what tax benefit can I get when I own the home and I'm letting mom and dad live in there? And so for those of you that are even considering long-term care and the strategies of the topic today, this could be a related topic. So let me throw out four options for getting some sort of benefit, if possible, when owning a home that your parents could be living in. Number one, do nothing. Just chalk up blessings in heaven. There's no tax benefit. There's no way to do anything. Don't even try. Just option one is, it's not worth the headache. I'm just going to walk away from the tax return. I'm just going to help my parents. And then when they pass on, we'll either sell the home, turn it into a rental, rehab it, fix and flip it, whatever. Okay. Option two, why not classify it as a second home? Hopefully you're visiting anyway on a regular basis. So if you already don't have a second home, a cabin, a beach house, or whatever, second home, call the home that your parents are living in that you own on title, second home. That would allow you to deduct the mortgage interest and property taxes. So now you've just increased your Schedule A itemized deductions in a big way. Option three, turn it into a rental property on the tax return. And you may say, well, Mark, I'm renting, I'm giving them free rent. Well, that's a gift. In a sense, you can claim, not in a sense, I'll just say this, you can claim rental income from the gift you're giving them. Now, don't worry about that. You may be scratching your head going, hold it. They didn't pay me rent. Why am I claiming rent? Well, for it to be a rental, you got to claim some rent. Don't worry about that. Here's the problem with strategy three, is that if you have a related party, whether it's a child or a parent, living in one of your rental properties, whether they're paying rent or not, if there's a loss, and as many of you know, we love the pass-through loss that comes through on rental property because you're thinking, wow, I want to depreciate that house that mom and dad are living in. Oh, my gosh. Well, the problem is you cannot take a loss on a property with a related party living in it. So the loss just carries forward until you sell the home, and you're going to have depreciation recapture. Now, you can carry forward some of the other write-offs, like visiting mom and dad and all the travel write-offs and the repairs and maintenance that could play out, because you're not going to get the sale of home exemption if it's your own home. So I'm not saying you don't call it as a rental. You very well could, but you might get more bang for your buck calling it a second home and the itemized deductions rather than turning it into a rental. Hopefully that makes sense, but I want to give you some options. Now, number four is, are you claiming mom and dad as a dependent on your tax return, which could be a big benefit on your tax return? And because you're providing for more than 50% of their care, because you're giving them a home to live in, so that's a pretty easy threshold to meet, can you claim them as a dependent? Well, here's the concern or rule there that you might or may not qualify for is, do mom and dad make more than $3,000 a year above Social Security? Now, some of you may have parents that all they have is Social Security. Boom, you're providing their housing, claim them as a dependent on your tax return, even if they're not under the same roof with you. But if they've got pension income, a 401k, an IRA, something left over from life, or maybe they even have their own little rental, but if they've got more than $3,000 of income other than Social Security, that doesn't count for the dependency test, but if they have more than $3,000 of other income, you can't claim them as dependent. But in summary here, maybe I've opened a door here, as the cover of my book, What Your CPA Isn't Telling You, has for you. This is a whole other world where, oh my gosh, my CPA is coming up with ideas and strategy and not just saying no. Well, that's how we try to operate. We come up with some ideas and strategies. So think about that. If you own a home and you have parents living in it, frankly, if you have some kids living in a home of yours, we want to talk about that strategy as well. So there you go. Little tax tip related to our topic today, Matt.
I like that. You tied it in nicely. And I like the options there, you know. I mean, what CPA gives you options? You know, option one. I love that. Just walking it through. Just like, you know, any great fast food restaurant. They got the number one. Do you want the number one or the number two? You know, one.
Yeah.
Option. So, all right. Well, I'm pretty excited about this topic. I kind of did some research on it. An intelligent comment here and there. So we'll see. Well, I guess you guys can be the judges of that.
And Matt, I just wanted to point out before we introduce Randy here too, you know, there's maybe some possible tax strategies here with the county fair time. I know some of you may be visiting county fairs this time of year. This is a exciting time of year, right in the fall when the crisp fall air is coming out. And you're thinking, I need a deep fried Oreo. So if you go to the county fair, this could be a good time, again, for a corporate meeting, some sort of family excursion, and get the kids out there. And my daughter's running a little booth at a farmer's market. This time of year is fun for a farmer's market. So I've got my kids out running their small business with a farmer's market. Matt, Brooke, maybe this could be a nice little thing for her hat business. Recently on the show, talking about her hat business. So,
She's doing events. She's doing a Puppies Make Me Happy. Have you ever heard of that brand? It's a fashion brand. They're kind of big in the hipster world, but they're doing a spin cycling.
Well, then obviously
charity.
I haven't heard of them. You know, if they're just, don't even throw out there. Mark, have you heard of them? Because you already know the answer.
Yeah, they make these T-shirts that say Puppies Make Me Happy. They're pretty dang cute. But anyways, they're doing something with the Humane Society, so she's doing an event there, which should be coming up in the next month. But yeah, get out there, you know, just get out there.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, I'm excited for our topic today. And Matt, what do you want to do? Honors and bring on our amazing guest.
Yeah, let's bring on Randy here. And I kind of, you know, Randy gave some info out on you a little bit earlier. Of course, you're a registered financial consultant, life insurance agent, stockbroker, been in the financial services industry more than 25 years. What other credentials should we drop for you, Randy, so people know this guy knows his stuff?
That's pretty good. You know, actually, since I heard you guys talking, I'm now having cravings for deep fried Oreos. You know, maybe I should be one of those.
Yeah. I know. We came home from the fair this last week, and my wife got home and she's like, I don't feel good. I go, really? That's odd. You've been eating deep fried fair food all day and you don't feel good? So, you know, she's kind of sad about that because I've got a stomach made of iron. Matt Sorensen will attest to this. You know, we could be working late and at 2 a.m, I'll go to 7-Eleven and I'll get one of those chili dogs, that hot dog that's been rotating for like 4 hours. And I can just throw that down. I feel great.
Four hours. That was from lunch the day before, man.
So that got us way off topic. So let me ask you a question, Matt. My specialty, if you will, it's real estate integrated and self-directed retirement planning, asset protection, estate and tax planning, and that's really it in a nutshell. It's, you know, how do we help people get to their retirement and do it in a better way than, you know, the traditional method of just stocks, bonds, and mutual funds.
All right, now we want to.
Yeah.
I just think
we want
to talk
about
long-term
love about
care. Sorry, Mark and I keep talking over each other, man. Sorry, Mark. So we want to talk about long-term care strategies, Randy, and we'll talk about long-term care insurance, and I know you and Mark have talked a little bit, but I want to talk about Medicare too and what that's going to cover. And Mark, I don't know if you had any initial thoughts you wanted to give out here as we kind of set the stage for Randy, but fire away.
Well, no, and I apologize. Again, this is live radio for you folks. We're trying to both get in a comment here. That's the reality. It's messy, but it's keeps it real. So I just want to say that's what we love about Randy is he's well-rounded. And what's ironic is if you asked a real stockbroker that might be at one of these big brokerage firms that has a name on the corner of a little strip mall near you, I don't want to throw out any names, but they can't even come on our show. They can't even come on the radio show because they've got to get approval from like 9 levels up before some guy in New York rubber stamps a measly little radio show. But Randy, he's independent. He has a fiduciary duty to do what's best for you and not to sell what the broker is pushing that month. And he can talk real estate. He can talk insurance. He can talk stocks and annuities without having someone sell you something. So I just love that about Randy being on the show. And Randy, why don't you first tell us, bring us up to speed on what some of these issues are. We've got baby boomers. I don't know how many. I mean, I know you've got a lot of these stats at your fingertips. So give us some stats. Tell us what we're dealing with baby boomers and the cost of long-term care and what people are doing because it's ugly out there.
Okay. So, and we'll bring in Medicare too, Matt, to round out the topic. But the way I like to explain it to people is if you think about it, almost everybody is going to have some kind of medical something or other that's going to come up in the course of their life, right? I mean, it could be as simple as just a serious bruise or a cut or maybe a broken bone or something, or, it could be even more serious. But no matter what it is, the procedure from the doctor's point of view is always the same thing. It's get you in, get you fixed up, and get you out the door as soon as possible. That's what our insurance healthcare system is all about. We want to get you fixed and get you out the door and back on the road. But at some point, and this is the statistics, at some point about 60 to 70% of us are going to experience some type of lengthy care. Average care, being more than 3 months, 6 months, maybe even several years. And that's what we call long-term care. That's where it fits into the mix. Does that make sense?
Yeah, man, 60 or 70%. So
it's a lot.
Odds are against me. Yeah.
It's a lot. Yeah. If you look around a room, you got 4 people, three of them are going to have some type of long-term care experience. And some of them will be more serious, obviously, than others. But if it does get serious, it also gets very expensive. And going back to Medicare for a moment, these are typically medical issues that aren't going to be covered by your health care insurance, whether it's Medicare or any other plan. This is going to go above and beyond that. And that again is where the long-term care comes in.
Well, Matt, let me ask this too. And then Matt, I know you've got a comment. So let me just throw this out to get it to this point of Medicare and Medicaid, those in California, Medi-Cal, other states have little acronyms too, but, a lot of people, I think, and I meet with clients all the time that are thinking, oh, well, if mom or dad need help, or, we never think it's going to be us, but they say to themselves, if it's me that needs long-term care, or my mom or dad, or grandpa or grandma, well, insurance will kick in, or Medicare. And they come to find out real quick that insurance fixes you, like you just described, and gets you out the door, or Medicare may let you stay in the hospital for 5 days if you're lucky, but then they're going to kick you out too. And then, well, who's paying for this? Oh, well, I have Medicaid. So now I can just apply for Medicaid, and yeah, it might take me a month to get all the paperwork done, but then Medicaid's going to pay for everything. Wow. And that's not always the case either. Randy, could you comment about that and kind of that reality check of what insurance, Medicare, and Medicaid pays when you may even have a few assets in your life? It's not a slam dunk.
No, not at all. In fact, so let's start with Medicare. So Medicare basically has 4 components, and it's easily recognized as parts A, B, C, and D, right? Part A is the part that basically comes free, if you will. And it comes free because you've been paying into it your whole life through your income taxes. And as long as you qualified and paid into that system, you're going to get Part A when you turn 65 years old, you'll become eligible for it. And another thing, by the way, if you're 65 and you don't work for an employer that has a Medicare exempt insurance policy, you have to apply for Medicare or you're going to be subject to a penalty that's going to stay with you the rest of your life. Right, so that's important to know too. So Medicare Part A is really the hospitalization part of Medicare, and it's not the healthcare part. That's Part B, and Part B we are going to continue to pay premiums when we're in retirement. Now this is typically a shock for a lot of people because if they work for an employer that maybe paid all or most of their healthcare premiums, all of a sudden they're 65 years old, they're retired, they think they're going to go on Medicare and it's going to be free. Well, it's not. There's a monthly deductible, there's a monthly premium you pay. There's copays and deductibles, and that goes for you and your spouse, and it can be several thousand dollars a year, which could be a big shock to people that have had their health care paid for their whole life.
Wow. Man, dude, should we keep going? This show's headed in the wrong direction.
We're going to bum everyone out here, huh?
Hey, this is all about planning, right? The point is this. You just need to know it's coming and plan ahead accordingly, and you'll be fine. It's still a good deal. I mean, the cost of coverage relative to, I'm a self-employed person, and I've been paying my health insurance my entire life. So for me, it's going to be like a big discount. It's just those people that have had their employer pay for their health insurance that won't notice the cost. But hey, in fact, let me finish that. So we got A and B, and then you got Part C, which is kind of like the whole healthcare type option where you have everything included, and then Part D is your drug coverage, okay? And so then on top of that, most people are going to get what's called a Medigap policy, which is basically a policy to cover those costs of the copays and deductibles. Right, and that's the Medicare bundle. And like I said, it's typically going to run, somewhere between $4,000 and $5,000 a year for your healthcare costs once you go into that Medicare system. Medicaid is when you're broke, and it's not available until you're broke. And the standards vary from state to state. In California, I believe it's about $1,500 of assets are all you're allowed to have before you become eligible to receive Medicaid. So not only does it take a while to get it, but you also have to spend down every penny you have in order to become eligible to receive it.
Now, Randy, let's talk about Medicare. I just want to get a specific example in, if we could. So let's say you have Medicare coverage.
Okay.
And you have an injury. Let's say you have Alzheimer's or you have a significant healthcare situation in your life. You have hospitalization for it. What is Medicare going to cover, and what should you be thinking about additional coverage options like long-term care insurance? Let's get that example out there first, because then I want to get into some specific questions about does everyone need it? What other resources should you have? But let's go over the significant medical condition that occurs on Medicare and when you're going to run out, so you'll know what options and things to plan for.
Perfect. So going back to the original statement, the idea of healthcare today is to, find out what your problem is, get you fixed up, and get you out the door. And that's what insurance covers. That's what Medicare is supposed to cover. It's things that happen for short periods of time. You mentioned Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is a disease that it creeps up on you over time, and people that develop that condition, and at a very personal level, my mom did. She suffered from it for years. It can be chronic, and it can go on for 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 years. That somebody could remain alive, but still under the care of a hospital. That's why we call it long-term care. It's those extended stays. Medicare will not cover any of that. Medicare will not.
Yeah, so I had a grandfather in that situation. So, you know, he ended up living in an assisted living facility, which Medicare is not going to cover that, right?
Correct.
I mean, and Medicaid, would that cover? Would there be any Medicaid coverage for that even?
Medicaid would, because Medicaid is going to pick up once you've exhausted all your assets. Medicaid will pick up and provide care, cost of care for all of those things. But again, you have to be, you know, almost literally broke to be eligible to receive the Medicaid. And this can be really devastating if you think about it with a couple. And I know this is like, you know, wah-wah kind of conversation, but let's just say one of the two spouses has a stroke, even at a relatively young age, maybe in their 50s, and they could, you know, go through all of their savings, they could go through all kinds of things taking care of the person with a stroke, yet that person might live another 20 years, right?
Well, and let me, before we even bring up long-term care insurance as an option here, this Medicaid, and we could do a whole show on Medicaid. You could do a whole show on Medicare. And so, and I appreciate all of our listeners' patience as we definitely brush up against these topics. But what happens with Medicaid, too, is a lot of people think, oh, well, I can set up a trust that I can put all my assets in, and then I can go get Medicaid if I need it, but then I can still have my assets. I can kind of have my cake and eat it, too. Well, I hate to say this, but again, be the bearer of bad news, is that those days of kind of these strategic elder law planning options, they're going away. It's been the Medicaid, because of their costs, they've been trying to crack down on these special type of trusts where you kind of sort of give up your assets. So they have these spend down periods where if you put your assets into a trust, you're ineligible for Medicaid for sometimes years until that mathematical equation plays out where they said, oh, you're going to give it away instead of use it? Okay, cool. We're going to just assume you used it and you're exempt for the next 3 or 4 or 5 years. And so if you're going to do Medicaid planning and give away your assets to family members, you can't wait to the last minute to do it either. You've got to get involved in that elder law Medicaid planning trust strategy.
Yeah.
And there's great attorneys out there that do this. We don't, but there are those types of attorneys that can do that. But it takes advanced planning as well. And parents are not, and I want your comment on this, Randy, but I've been in that conference room where you're telling mom and dad, mom, dad, our plan is to just get you with state care. So you've got to give us all your assets so that we can go and apply to you as being broke.
That's
not a conversation you want to have. Trust me.
It's not. It's really not. And it's really unfair to the other unaffected spouse too, because you know there are exemptions and some exceptions of assets that you can protect for the unaffected spouse, but you know, not as much as you'd think. And that look back period you're talking about, that's 5 years, right? So I have to give everything away today and then, you know, keep my fingers crossed for 5 years that nothing happens. And then it's okay. Right. So it's very difficult because if you think about it, as people get older, they're more and more protective of their assets. They're more and more concerned that, you know, people might take things away from them. They want to retain their independence. It's a challenging conversation. It really is at all levels.
Yeah. One other thing on Medicaid, too, is, you know, that's the last resort. I mean, you want to be through maybe Medicare first and then long-term care insurance or other resources next. And then you're at Medicaid at the end of the road. And so, because what you also see is if you do have an estate, let's say, you know, crap, I mean, that's what we're talking about with this show week in and week out, is how to, you know, grow and build wealth. And let's say you get to that point in your life where you have wealth. Well, you're going to have to spend it down, gift it away, wait 5 years. Or, and keep in mind too, if you pass away and Medicaid's put a bunch of money out for you, they'll go after your estate if you have assets in it. They'll go try and collect it, which decreases what can pass on to your loved ones. So so it should be really end of the road. As I think Mark and Randy both mentioned, there are a couple of strategies and some exemptions, but it's not a flip the switch, set up a trust, throw everything in it, and I'm clean and clear. Give me free care. So unfortunately.
And I want to be sensitive to this, a couple of sensitive items, and then we've got to throw out probably what we think is your best solution to this. which is long-term care insurance, and the realities of it, and what do you really get? Because there's a lot of misinformation out there. And Randy, you're going to lay that out. Is that a fair statement to say? What that's really the direction we're headed is one of your best options, or you have something better, or what? Where? I mean.
Well, the short answer to your question, Mark, is if this develops in your family, in this part of your family situation, you're going to have four choices, right? You can have another family member take care of you. You know, typically it's the husband or wife taking care of each other, or it's maybe, you know, the kids or one of the kids. That's another thing with the family dynamics. You know, it's typically, you know, that one kid or a couple kids that are close to home, and if the other ones are not, then, you know, they just take on that burden because they want to take care of their parents, but it wears on the family dynamic because, you know, it is extra time and extra money and extra effort to, you know, take care of mom or dad. So family members an option. It's the least expensive option, but it's probably the most psychologically damaging, route to go. But that's what a lot of people end up doing or counting on having somebody take care of them. The second way to do it is self-insuring, just having enough money that you're going to take care of those things that those medical costs that come up. And that can work as long, again, as the care doesn't go on for years and years and years, because that can really blow a hole in a retirement plan. The third one we've been talking about, Medicaid, welfare. And then the last one is insurance, long-term care insurance. And those are really the only four options you have if you find yourself in that situation. That's it.
Yeah, and thank you, Randy, for – I kind of was prodding you along to give us the kind of the solutions here for a sense, the second, so then we're going to discuss them. But on an emotional level, this is really hard because Matt and I, we've just been talking about this on previous shows and with clients, and I know, Randy, you do this all on a regular basis. We have clients that are pulling money out of their 401ks and retirement to pay for their kids' college education.
Right.
And then they show up on our doorstep at age 50 or 60 and go, okay, well, I got to start building my retirement. And we're like, what? Where did your retirement go? Well, I got all my kids through college. Whoa. And we've talked about this on the show. That may not be the best use of your retirement money, is to blow it on getting your kids through college. And we've got to look at other options there. Because at age 50 or 60, you should be living on your retirement and thinking about long-term care, because as Randy said earlier, 60 to 70% of us are going to need it. So what are we doing there? And I know that many of you feel like you're getting squeezed on every edge and every corner of your life going, Mark, I'm just trying to pay my bills every month, let alone kids in college, let alone long-term care. What do I do? What are my options? And we are talking about that in our workshops and on the show every week. And Randy, I mean, when people come to you in those predicaments and we're looking at these three or four options, what are the things you start talking about? Because I'd love to hear your message.
Yeah, well, you know, we address that the reality is that it's going to happen to a lot of people. So it's kind of like, hey, do I have automobile insurance? Yeah, you know what the odds of you getting a car accident are? Pretty low. Do you have homeowners insurance because your home's going to burn down? What are the odds your home's going to burn down? It's pretty low. But we know statistically that 60 to 70% of us are going to have some type of long-term care issue, and yet we don't insure for it, right? We think we can have a family member take care of it or pay for it out of our pocket. So let's just kind of actually shift into the idea of insurance, because I know we're going to run out of time here, and I really want to talk about insurance, because it really it's very different, and there's some terrible options out there and some pretty amazing options as well. Would that be okay with you?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. All right. So let's just talk about traditional long-term care insurance. And traditional long-term care insurance is something that personally I never liked very much as an advisor and as a consumer for a couple reasons. One, it's like a very expensive automobile insurance policy. You'll pay for it your whole life. You'll hope you don't get in an accident where you need it, right? You hope the incident doesn't happen. And at the end of the day, if nothing does happen, all the money you paid in premiums is lost. It's gone. It's, you know, it was insurance. It was there if you needed it. But again, hopefully you don't get in an accident. Hopefully you don't have a long-term care episode and you just, you know, pass away in your armchair. But you've wasted a lot of money in the process of doing that. In addition to that, the traditional long-term care insurance can be, you know, fairly difficult to qualify for, because the insurance company knows the risks associated with the costs of long-term care and that those costs are going up. So I've never recommended it. I'm not a big fan of it for those reasons, because now I guess I'll look at the other three options before I'd want to just, you know, literally throw away my money and you know, hope for the best. So fast forward, a few years ago, the insurance industry came down with a whole new idea, a whole new product line called asset-based long-term care. And the idea behind asset-based long-term care is you can pay into these policies and you get three really wonderful benefits. Here you go. Number one, if you change your mind at any time and you want your money back, they'll give it back to you. So you could pay premiums into it for 5 years, 10 years. You can even make single premiums and, you know, one and done. But if you change your mind and for some reason you want your money back, you don't want the insurance, they'll give you your money back. So you didn't waste it. If you were to die and never have a claim for long-term care, it would pay a death benefit. And that death benefit would be income tax-free to your estate. So not only would you get the money you put in, but you'd also get an additional amount of money because of the life insurance component of it. And then finally, of course, if you didn't incur the long-term care expense, it would be there for you, ready to pay those long-term care costs, also income tax-free. Pretty amazing.
All right. Well, let's talk about this, because I think there's a decision to be made. Do I buy a policy like that, or do I do the default self-insure route, which is what you're doing?
Yeah.
If you're not doing anything. And some people are self-insuring and planning to self-insure. They really have the assets and they've been good about that. They've set money aside for this. Others are, like I said, just doing it because they don't have any other strategy. So that's their default. But what type of a cost is this? Someone maybe in their 50s or, you know, early 60s. I mean, what is the cost for this? How much coverage are we talking about that someone would typically want to get for long-term care? Can you give us some numbers so people can start thinking about this from just a dollar and cents perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, this is where it gets really interesting. You know, insurance is essentially a leverage play, meaning you pay X amount of dollars to get a multiple of X as a benefit at some point in the future. And so in the specific example of these asset-based long-term care policies, depending on your age, you might put, say, let's make a really simple $50,000 single premium. So it's one payment and you're done. There's no monthly, no annuals, no nothing to pay in the future. You just pay $50,000 one time. And you might get between $150,000 to $250,000 worth of long-term care benefits if you need them. So it's a multiplier. It takes that $50,000 that you would have self-insured with and gives you five times the value in coverage if you need it.
All right. Now, that $50,000 that I put in, I know you talked earlier about being able to get the money out sometimes. So let's say I do never use that. I never make a claim on it. I've made that single premium payment. What are the other options? If you said the change your mind option, you can change your mind and get money back. I don't doubt it. Really?
Yeah, you can. You get when you make that, let's again keep it simple. If I make that single premium payment during, say, the first 10 years of that policy, there would be an early withdrawal charge if you wanted 100% of it, and it could be as little as 5% of the total amount you put in, or as high as 10. But if you literally put the money in and a year later you decide, for whatever reason, you change your mind, you wanted to get it back out, you might lose 10% of your money in getting it back. But if you left it in there throughout that 10-year period, and this is one specific policy I'm thinking of, at the end of 10 years, they would give you 100% of your money back. No questions asked. It's yours.
So is this really the best route? I want to ask this just because I want to offer, you know, a debate in a sense. Is that if I'm self-insuring, investing my money, some people are like, I'm going to buy term and invest type of concept when it comes to life mm-hmm. insurance. What mm-hmm. about people that are saying, I'm building up enough assets that I can create cash flow or wealth to pay for my own care, which is one of those four options you threw out there.
Mm-hmm.
Can you compare and contrast those two? Is this payout in excess of the premiums you paid if needs be? Is that why it's better than self-insuring? Where do I decide? How do I decide?
Yeah, it does pay out in excess of the premiums. That's the multiplier. So, again, if I pay in $50,000 and I might get $150,000 of benefits, it pays out three times what I put in. And, you know, the question about can I self-insure, use the money, make more money on my money than, you know, perhaps I'd receive in benefits? The answer is, yeah, that's possible. In fact, for a lot of people, it's likely that you could earn more. But it's kind of a false equivalency because one is a guaranteed benefit that would be available the day you bought the policy, and the other is something you hope you're going to get if you, you know, do well with your investment strategy. Not the same.
Yeah, I hear you. So you got to – so hedging against risk, you might want to do a little of both.
Well, that's what I encourage. And, you know, these policies, even along the way, meaning like let's use a 55-year-old, and hopefully that 55-year-old won't have any long-term care issues for like 30 years, right? So even along the way, that money is available even though it's inside the policy because it can be borrowed back out at any time. It could be used in investment and paid back into the policy if that's what they wanted to do with it. But they're buying insurance at a younger age when they're going to get more leverage, more bang for their buck for the premiums they pay for the coverage they'll ultimately get.
Now, let me ask here on – I want to talk about some of this coverage. So when someone gets to long-term care, whether this is a traditional long-term care policy or the asset-based long-term care policy you're talking about, what is the typical claim people are making to get coverage and seeing coverage for? Because, you know, they've gone through their medical. Maybe they've had a little bit of time in a skilled nursing facility or something on a temporary basis that Medicare paid. But if they're in, let's say, would be assisted living. I know assisted living is going to be, you know, $5,000 to $10,000 a month at least. And so over a year, let's say you're at the $10,000, I mean, you're going to be over $100,000 a year in cost for that, right? I mean, is that a good cost breakdown of something that would be common, or what do people typically get covered for and using this insurance for?
Yeah, so typically it's going to be for a husband and wife. This is what we see most often, a husband and wife. Some of these policies, we're able to buy one policy that covers both spouses, which is nice in itself because it helps keep the cost lower. And what they'll do is they'll get a base coverage policy. So the base policy, again, I'll put in $50,000, I'll get $150,000 worth of base coverage. And then they'll actually buy a rider, which is now we're talking pure insurance again because the riders are not refundable. But you can buy actually a lifetime rider that would pay ongoing benefits for both spouses as long as they're under care. And there's no limit to that.
Wow. Sounds too good to be true in some ways, this little equation of yours.
Well, no limit to that. How much does that cost? That sounds expensive.
Yeah, it's really not. And, you know, here's the situation. Everybody has you have to look at your family health history. You have to look at all these different the amount of cash you have, liquid reserves, how much cash flow you have to afford. All these different things are going to factor into it. When you're looking at the four options, I'll have a family member take care of me. I'll pay for it out of pocket or I'll go on welfare. You know, okay. I'm just saying if you're going to self-insure, why don't we get leverage out of those dollars? And instead of getting a dollar's worth of benefit for a dollar I spend, why not get three? That makes more sense.
When should people start this? Is there a rule of thumb when people should start dealing with this? Like I said earlier, and I didn't mean to paint such a miserable, stressful picture, but we've got clients that are focused on retirement, let alone long-term care.
Yeah.
How do you juggle all of it, Randy?
Yeah, that's another great question. So, typically, again, if I was buying traditional long-term care insurance, I'd want to buy it when I'm very young because the premiums are going to be lower, and they'll typically stay that way. But, you're going to pay that out over your lifetime. With these asset-based products, typically we're looking at people starting at the very youngest, maybe in their 50s. More likely, they're going to be in their 60s, and we can actually buy coverage all the way up till age 85. So somebody 85 years old could actually, put a dollar's worth of premium into a long-term care policy, and maybe they'll only get a dollar and a quarter worth of benefit from it, but it's still 25% more money than self-insuring.
Mr.
Interesting. So on this multiplier, because this is the key here, I guess, when it breaks down the numbers.
Yep.
Where are you at that 2-time or 3-time or 4-time or whatever? It sounds like it's based on age. So the younger you are,
yes,
the bigger multiplier you get.
Yep.
Do you have an idea of where that typically breaks down? Give people kind of an idea on that. Is it?
Yeah. So it's based on your age and your health, right?
Okay.
And so, yeah, so the younger you are and the healthier you are, the greater the benefit would be. And also, a joint policy will typically give you more leverage than a single policy, right?
Hmm.
To be frank, I really can't say where that sweet spot is. Like, if you buy it right between 50 and 60, whatever, it seems to, when I look at these things, that it all works out to a relatively smooth curve or smooth line along the way with age. And as long as there's not some crazy health issue that comes in, that could, obviously really reduce the leverage you get. But if you're, when there's a lot of 70-year-olds that are very healthy, that would get, very good coverage and a lot of leverage on their policy, not as much as a 50-year-old at the same health, but they're still going to get a considerable amount more money, a benefit, than they would if they paid it out of their own pocket.
Now, Randy, let me ask you this question. I mean, we've talked about from a planning perspective. What if you're behind the eight ball, though? What if you have a family member already with the medical situation? Maybe the family's been stressed out and they're trying to look at options. What type of planning can they do, or what should they be thinking about as they're making decisions? Any advice there? I mean, it's probably outside of insurance now, but what type of strategies or criteria should they be thinking of?
Yeah. So they actually do have an insurance product available for people that are actually in healthcare facilities already. It's called Immediate Care. And the idea there is, we know that the person's already developed the issues, the long-term care issues. So frankly, the more severe the issues, the less expensive it would be. But the idea behind it is, you can put in X amount of dollars and basically cap your costs. Once that money's used up, then the insurance company would come in and it would it would go on their tab. So you can actually do that. But what you're talking about, another one of my certifications we don't talk about much, but I'm a certified Medicaid planner as well. And I have to say, out of all the things I've studied and all the different certification I got, Medicaid has got to be the most complicated, difficult planning strategy of all of them. Because first of all, the rules vary state by state, and then you have this overlay of the federal government, and you have all these different nuances that play into it, and plus the family dynamics, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And what makes Medicaid even more difficult too is that the families that are looking to do Medicaid planning are already in a pinch financially, so
typically
they can't afford. Yeah, they can't afford the best advisors or the best advice because they're already up against the wall. I'm going to say it now, and I think it needs at least to be said, because if it's not an undertone here of this whole conversation, is maybe two things. Number one, and you guys, agree or disagree or add addition to this, but number one is taking a multi-pronged, diversified approach to your lifelong plan. This is where, for years, Matt and I and Randy, a sponsor of my upcoming workshops, nonetheless, which I want to mention here at the end of the show. I mean, our 5 workshops this fall, Randy's going to be there speaking. He was the MC at Matt's IRA workshop in Phoenix. So we know what Randy's tone is, and that is you should be doing a variety of things, whether it's real estate, 401ks, IRAs, small business, emergency planning. All of that plays in, and so many of us get tunnel vision that we forget even this long-term care piece, and it's got to be discussed more. It's got to be in the plan. So this diversity of self-insuring and getting a multiplier, doing the rentals, doing everything you can, hedging against risk. I mean, we've got this really weird presidential election coming, and who knows who's going to make it, and what's the market going to do when they get there? And the second point is start early. I just kind of feel that here again and again. Every time I talk to you, Randy, it's like I just feel like I got to start early, start now, because once the crisis is here, you're going to get the worst result.
Yeah, the choices and decisions we make when we're under stress are generally the ones we regret the most, right? And the ones that we can make when we can be clear-headed and have options available to us that we wouldn't otherwise have, those are generally going to be the best for us. So that's what you're saying. Plan early. Start now. Look at a holistic approach to these things. There's no one right solution that is perfect for everybody. That's what you have to do. You have to look at the situation and the dynamics, and then put together a plan that matches it.
Yeah, and I'll just throw in my final 2 cents here on this is I just the takeaway for me is. You got to have a plan, and that's your plan is self-insurance, and whether you like it or not, and I want you to think about this for yourself and think about this for your parents, because this is an issue for yourself and this is an issue for your parents. I know a lot of our listeners have parents aging, and so understand what their plan is, because and get involved in talking to them, making sure that they do have a plan. So Randy, do you have anything you wanted to say about you or resources on your website? I mean, Mark, I'll let you get the last word here on your workshops, and I know Randy will be at those too, but anything you wanted, resources you had, Randy? We're getting to the final hour here.
Well, thank you. Yeah, my website is lifetimeparadigm.com, and we're always adding more and more information, whether it's about long-term care or retirement planning or real estate investing. We just keep adding to our library of information there. The one thing I encourage everybody to take a look at is our financial fitness toolkit, and I won't go into the details of it, but it's a free program, and it's amazing. It gives a lot of insight and talks about a lot of the things we've been addressing today.
Well, I like www.lifetimeparadigm.com, and if you can't spell paradigm, just Google it. You'll find Randy Lupke real quick. it's good. I want to say this. I feel selfish. I really do. I've said this before at different times in workshops or on the show, is that I really feel I'm the biggest recipients of these conversations, because I am not intuitively this smart to think ahead and plan like this. I need shows like this. I don't know if any of you feel that same way. You're listening to the show going, gosh, another hit over the head. I got to get off my butt and do something, because that's how I feel. I feel like if I wouldn't have taken this path and career, or even having just the radio show and these workshops, I would be the biggest loser. And so these workshops I'm doing starting 2 weeks from now in Seattle, and there'll be a live broadcast at the end of the series on December 3rd for those that aren't in a local area. Of the workshops, but Seattle, Sacramento, Chicago, Orange County, and Hawaii, 5 workshops. And during this workshop, we're doing so much more holistic planning, bringing it together from start to finish. Randy's going to be there. 6 steps. We're going to talk about this financial, tax saving, asset protection, estate planning, life planning topic, and putting it together in an amazing way. So get to the websites, markjkohler.com, kqslawyers.com. All the links are there. It's in the newsletter. We hope to see you there. And Randy, thank you for coming out. I know you're going to share these same insights at that event.
Hey, you're welcome, guys. And I hope I can come back to again and have a maybe a happier topic to talk about.
Yeah.
All right.
No, it sounds good. It's tough.
Yeah, thanks for being on, Randy. And thanks for listening, everyone. Remember, if you like the show, like Shakespeare said, those who love show they love. So go show us you love us by giving us a 5-star review on iTunes. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with another amazing episode.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.